morning, Harvest. Good morning. It is good to be here this morning. It feels good today. It was cold last Sunday. It was beautiful yesterday. I'm not sure if we're in winter or in spring, but God is in control. Amen? Amen. It is good to be here this morning. We are still in the series of Exodus, and we are in Lent at the same time. We might continue through Exodus until next year. And that's okay. We'll just keep journeying through Exodus. No, we wouldn't do that to you. I'm just playing. But it's good to be here this morning. If you will, let's go to Exodus chapter 23. I'm going to pick up a little bit where Kenan left off, still chapter 23, where he left off last Sunday. And we'll look at verses 20 through 30. When you have Exodus 23, chapter 23, verse 20 through 31, would you please stand to your feet? I want to get to the preaching because it's going to take at least an hour and a half. And I know you guys want to stay here with the second crowd. Let's pray first. Speak, Jesus. Amen. If you will, look to the screen. I'll be reading from the New American Standard Bible. It says, "Behold, I am going to send an angel before you to guard you along the way and to bring you into the place which I have prepared. Be on your guard before him and obey his voice. Do not be rebellious towards him, for he will not pardon your transgression, since my name is in him. But if you truly obey his voice and do all that I say, then I will be an enemy to your enemies and an adversary to your adversaries. For my angel will go before you and bring you in the land of the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites." Y'all didn't think I could say all the mice, did you? "And I will completely destroy them. You shall not worship their gods, nor serve them, nor do according to their deeds, but you shall utterly overthrow them and break their sacred pillars in pieces. But you shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water, and I will remove sickness from your midst. There shall be no one miscarrying or barren in your land. I will fulfill the number of your days. I will send my terror ahead of you and throw into confusion all the people among whom you come. I will make all your enemies turn their backs to you. I will send hornets ahead of you so that they will drive out the Hivites and the Canaanites and the Hittites before you. I will not drive them out before you in a single year, that the land may not become desolate and the beasts of the field become too numerous for you." In verse 30, "I will drive them out before you little by little until you become fruitful and take possession of the land." The word of God for the people of God, and the people of God said, amen. You may be seated. That is a rich text right there. Amen. Amen. So I don't know what many preachers do. Everything, maybe like 99%. Let me be honest, 100%. I run everything past Lauren. So everything I preach, I'm going to talk about, I talk to her because she knows me the best. And I say, I'm thinking about saying this. I hope it won't make you uncomfortable because I will tell our business from stage. I don't mind talking about our house. If you ever want to see my wife upset with me, watch us in the kitchen. I think I can cook. I always talk about food because around this hour, I'm hungry. But with our schedules, I do majority of the cooking in our home, so I know exactly how I want my food prepared. I do. I turn into helicopter chef. You know, you have helicopter mom, helicopter dad. I'm helicopter chef when she cooks. It's the same annoyance that a backseat driver gives you when they're trying to give you directions. I give that same pain. But everybody prepares differently. It's the beauty of uniqueness. I'm going somewhere, guys. Some cooks marinate steak for 24 hours. Some of them marinated on the grill like Bill. You have one athlete who listens to music pregame. Others watch pregame films. I'm going to take my time, but we're going to get fast at the end. You have one mother who spends the entire day of prom with her daughter getting her ready for the night. And another pays for her to be chauffeured around with her friends. Amen? It's preparation. To be made ready or being made ready. But there's nothing like the type of preparation done God's way. Amen? Not my way, not your way, not my friend's way, but prepared God's way. Prepared God's way is usually the road less traveled, as Robert Frost once said. Yeah. See, Exodus shows us God doing this preparation in two fundamental ways. The first, we see God preparing a people for a place, and then we see God preparing a place for his people. That's good. One historical debate concerning God's method is found in verse 20 and 21. We're going to be heavy in the beginning. We're going to celebrate in the end. It says that there's like a three apologetic discourses or arguments concerning the phrase, "My name is in him." Yeah, my name is in him. The weakest argument regards the angel as Moses. However, the expressions, "he will not pardon," and "my name is in him," are divine attributes. So it negates Moses as the angel. Furthermore, an angel would be sent to guard and guide them, and Moses was already among the people while God was speaking. Amen? The second argument considers the angel as the pre-incarnate Christ, because in him suggests God's presence fully consumed the inner being of the angel. It's what we like to call theophany. But the third argument, it views the angel literally as an angelic representative sent by God who has been sent previously in scriptures. And I would suggest, I would argue, wherever you lean, know that someone greater than the children of Israel was in the front. Amen? And I can't speak for everybody, but I like being a part of a faith and a church where somebody greater is in the front. I don't want to be a part of a church where somebody greater is leading from the back. I like being part of a church where pastors and elders and deacons have someone greater leading in the front. You need to follow leaders who follow God, because he is greater than us. Amen. Our great God, he directs them, and he says, obey. Then he adds the word truly in verse 22. Truly, Shema Yisrael. Shema. This in Hebrew would be an infinitive absolute. It causes the action of obedience to be more intensified. Yeah, it possesses more emphasis. Truly, truly intensifies the command to obey. Obedience to God. It wasn't limited by season. It wasn't seasonal. Obedience to God was not based on how you feel today. Obedience was a part of the covenant. And I got to tell you, I've not read in Scripture where God makes it a habit of explaining all of his ways. He usually gives a command, and with his command, there is much expectation and little explanation. Much expectation. He says it, we do it. Less expectation or explanation. See, God expects for his chosen people to truly obey. You got to talk back to me this morning. Somebody say, truly obey. Yeah, yeah. The prophet Isaiah, he will record in chapter 55, Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9. If you look on the screen, it says this, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Because I've read ahead, I find myself putting my head down and talking to Israel. It's the truth. I find myself talking to my Bible. It doesn't say nothing back, but I talk to it. And I find myself yelling at them, "Obey! Truly obey!" And at that moment, my Bible becomes a mirror. And as I'm pointing fingers at them, I see the fingers pointing back at me. And that's painful because I don't like when the Bible points back at me, especially when I'm by myself at my table, because it creeps me out. It says, obey. And if I'm honest, if you're honest, obedience is your struggle too. Obedience is my struggle too. Did you know, Damon, that in transition from our Egypt to God's Canaan, time will speak. Yeah, time has a voice as well. Time will speak. Time will tell us to complain. Time will tell us to be bitter and resentful. Time speaks. Yeah, time will remind us that we're getting older. Time is reminding me right now that I forgot to wear my copper knee braces. Time. Yes, the truth. That's what happens to athletes. Time. Time will ask, will my marriage survive this? Time asks, will my child ever be well? That's what time does. Time says, how long is this journey going to be? Time asks, will I ever finish school or ever go back to school? That's what time asks. Time asks question after question, and it's during transition that we need to replay the promises of God in our mind to encourage true obedience. Yeah, when time starts talking, we have to talk back. Say, I hear your time, but I hear God more. Amen? I know that is a fact, but God created the facts. That is truth, but God is the ultimate truth. When time talks, you better speak back. Amen? True obedience. Yeah. See, true obedience, it begins or starts here on the journey and should continue there in the land. Obedience starts here, in transition, on the journey. It doesn't start when you get there, Josh. It starts here, on the journey, and continues there in the land. Obedience would prepare the people for the place and the place for the people. But why obey God? You know, you got to talk back to the text. I said, why do you obey God? And the answer I got back is because his word can be trusted. Amen? He has a proven track record. His word in Exodus 23 has been consistent since we started in Exodus chapter 1. Matter of fact, Numbers gives an account of Israel generations later where King Balak I wanted the prophet Balaam to curse Israel, but Balaam couldn't curse who God had blessed. Isn't that good news? In Numbers 23, verse 19, it says this, God is not a man. That's good right there. That's all I need to know. God is not a man that he should lie. Y'all know some folk that lie? I'm just saying. Yeah. Nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said and will he not do it? Or has he spoken and will he not make it good? Amen. This God who rescues is the only living God whose word can be trusted. He is the only living God that keeps his word despite us breaking ours. You ever had anybody let you down? Break their word? Have you or I ever broken our word, even if we really tried to keep it? See, God, he stays the same despite if we break our word. The painful reality of disobedience suggests that God still gets the glory either way, even at our expense. See, disobedience can cause the journey to become longer and much harder. Disobedience can slow down the blessings of God or completely stop them for a particular generation. That's the word. But God will still get the glory. See, undefiled worship glorifies God. That's one reason he would destroy all the ites. See, God was going to destroy all the ites because he needs undefiled worship. Amen? Yeah. The ites. We got some ites. Yeah, and he goes around destroying the ites. Yeah. And this is what he says. He says, I will completely destroy them in verse 23. But then he instructs Israel in 24. He says, you destroy the idols. You're going to participate in this. Amen? I'll destroy the idolaters. You destroy the idols. Israel, you do it. Leave nothing behind. No residue. Matter of fact, don't hide the idol. Don't bury the idol. Don't reposition the idol. Don't move the idol over there to your friend's house and revisit the idol. Don't bring the idol back out when you get lonely. Destroy the idol. And I believe, congregation, with this many folk and with the people that are streaming live because they told me they're streaming live and with those who will watch by video, that we need an idol smashing ceremony. Some of us might need to smash, destroy a cell phone. We might need to destroy a bank account. We might need to destroy a membership to a club that nobody knows about. We might need to destroy a relationship outside of our spouse that is giving emotional pleasure. Destroy the idols. You might have to destroy a job that your ego can't handle. Destroy the idols, because if we don't destroy them, they will destroy us. Yeah. Idols always overpromise and underdeliver. No matter how pious or astute we are, it doesn't make our hearts immune to idol worship. Amen? In Paul's epistle to the Romans, chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, he gives a spiritual correspondence on how to guard our worship. I use the NLT because I like it's just in your face. And so, dear brother and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Isn't that good news? See, discipleship is not a new principle. God has been making disciples before the 12 with Jesus. Yeah, before Paul and Timothy, before Paul and Silas, before there was a downline of people, God was making disciples. God was teaching Israel how to follow him. Amen? The Lord your God, he will bless, verse 25. That's not a king. That's not a system. The Lord your God. Yeah, follow my laws and watch me bless you. Follow my laws and watch me bless you. Now, that's not for us to get carried away. I don't want us to take a text out of context because that's a proof text and a scripture can never mean what it never meant. Amen? This was conditional and does not mean that we Christians won't have common colds. It doesn't mean that we won't have children with illnesses. It doesn't mean that student loans will disappear if you tell FAFSA, go away in Jesus' name. FAFSA, stop right now. No more debt. No more. No, no, it's not going to work like that. You can spin around on your bills, they're going to still come. Yes. Does God still bless today? Yes. He's still blessed today. Does God still bless our finances? Yes. Does God still heal today? Yes. But the blessings that we have are ultimately found in Christ. Yeah, I love the in Christ that Paul says. The salvation is in Christ. Justification is in Christ. Regeneration is in Christ. Sanctification is in Christ. And if you want to make up a word and put an ation on the end, that's cool too. It's in Christ. It's in Christ. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3 would say, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord, Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And then what's next? In Christ. See, Israel had a foreshadow. They had a foretaste. But we have Christ. Amen? See, God would physically create a paradise for them in 26 through 28. Yeah. By sending calamities to their enemies, terrors and hornets. See, these are ambiguous terms for us, for the reader, but these were plagues that would bring confusion and drive every wicked thing out. Israel would literally see the back of their necks, as translated in 27. See, God had the power, though, to deliver them all at once, but in his sovereignty, God knows best. God knew what was best for them, and God knew what was best for the land. God understood the little by little process. Amen? See, in 30, he says, I'll do it little by little. It's common to become impatient with God's way when he does the little by little preparation. Israel couldn't prepare the land without God. Israel couldn't prepare themselves without God. It's the little by little preparation. The land was prepared, yet being prepared at the same time. It's a tension. It's the similar tension that we Christians experience living in this world, but on our way to glory. It's a tension that we live every day. I'm in the world, but not of this world. I live in this world, but I'm a citizen of heaven. It's a tension. It's the already, but not yet. It's the little by little. The already redeemed while on our way to redemption. Already sanctified while being sanctified. It's the tension of being prepared God's way. And when people see us now or a year from now, they ought to say, man, something is happening with you. I don't understand, but it's happening little by little. When we see other people, we ought to see them through the lens of grace and say, God is doing something his way little by little. God, you have your way little by little. when we read stories to our children and to our grandchildren who think we were born sweet, drinking sweet tea, eating sweet potato pie, we say, Grandmama wasn't always like this, but God has prepared me His way little by little. That's good news. What you're witnessing is God's preparation, God's way. There's a hymn. It's a hymn, which you have to open up in a book with notes that I used to sing. And the words were simply like this. You might even know it. Oh, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, and with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Amen. I hope that's our prayer today. Lord, prepare me your way. Let us pray. God, we thank you for just a simple, direct message that comes from your word. I ask that you would transform us the way that you see fit. Prepare us your way. Give us the strength to endure it, even when it doesn't make sense. Help us in this time of transition. In Jesus' name, amen.